Howdy, y'all, and welcome to Cloudy Thoughts with MK. It has been such a long time. If y'all hear the birds chirping behind me, it's because we are in a new setup. I have decided that I'm going to be outside. There's a beautiful tree behind me. I got some incense and some candles going. Today I'm learning how to pivot because I recorded this revamp of this episode. It's been about 11 months. I've undergone so much change and become very much attuned with who I am, and sometimes that means you're gonna have to roll with the punches. So couldn't hear a thing of my voice, and then the metronome sounded like a woodpecker. So we're here once again. I just want to thank y'all first and foremost for tuning in. I've been so excited to share what I've been learning and just express my heart into the world. I truly do feel like one of the single most unifiers on earth is conversation and connection with one another. It's a way to express love. And I'm just extremely grateful to be in a space where I'm no longer afraid to speak and see what happens. There's a lot that's been on my heart. There's a lot that I have been learning and undergoing and unlearning. It's definitely been a year of release and gain and a bit more release. But the topic for today is the power of platonic love. I am someone that you would call a romantic. I will give you an example. I was 15 years old. I had just met my first love interest, and she lived not too far away. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make her some homemade cheesecake. I had never made cheesecake before. It came out looking. It tasted good, but the presentation was the best that I could do at the time. So, mom and dad, if you're hearing this, I apologize. But I decided little Michaela was going to sneak out of my house with this piece of cheesecake in my hand. And I went ahead and was running to her home past the man-made lake and the playground that I used to go and look at the stars. And I texted her. I'm like, oh my God, like I'm coming. Boop, boop, boop. And I wasn't allowed to be over there at this time. It was like 12 on a school night. And so I had the cheesecake. I get to her home and I was going to hand it to her over the fence, but I'm 5'10". Like I'm pretty tall, but it's a fence. It was taller than I am. So I was like, okay, I'm going to stand on top of the trash can to get her, this cheesecake. So I see her and I'm all excited. My heart's beating out of my chest. I'm like, hee hee, like she's going to love this, you know? I step on the top of this trash can and I dent it through. Like it goes doosh. And her dog starts barking. I almost dropped the cheesecake. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I don't even get time to like speak to her really. I just hand it over to her. And like, I'm running away so that I don't get in trouble. But I still felt happy that I was able to do that for her. I was just able to express my love in that manner. But a recurrent theme was like in my life that I have noticed and some feedback that I've just been chewing on is like there was a lack of foresight, a lack of planning, and a lack of just accountability for what I was creating, because I could have been very terrible for her. It could have been terrible for me as well. I'm sneaking out. My parents would have been upset. Her trash can's dented. There's just different patterns that I have gotten the opportunity to work through, because as I got older too, there was this theme of sacrifice for the sake of making others happy, even if it meant detriment to me or to them in the long term. And so I'm in a space now where, especially this past year, I have had the opportunity to create deeper friendships with people that are already in my life. Logan is one of my best friends. We live together. We've been friends for 5 years. Gabby's my best friend. She's also from Texas. Someone who I can just show up and we're good. Anytime like we have a sleepover, it's a yap sesh. Like we're going to be talking. She could be dead asleep. I get there. She wakes up. We're going to be talking for at least an hour, you know. Naya Marley from Florida. We became friends freshman year. This entire summer and a bit past that, we started hiking, and we're going to be doing it again. We were hiking every single weekend, and we're both getting after it. That's just a couple of examples. There's my neighbor, Ash, who is also one of my closest friends that has impacted and transformed my life in multiple different ways. Just the appreciation and gratitude that I feel for these women is so deeply ingrained into my heart. And I have always wanted a tribe. I've always seen friends as a second type of family. And so to have these kind of intimate connections in my life, I was pondering over what platonic love has done for me, how that affects others, and like just the importance of it within our lives as a whole. So the way that today is going to work, I actually have some main points. Hashtag organization. I'm just going to talk about how friendship has changed my life for the better, first and foremost. I'm going to go ahead and define what platonic love is, the origin of it. Markers of a good friendship. What's a good friend? What's some red flags? What are the things that we're needing? And I'm going to speak from a perspective of myself as well. I know this is going to differ for different people, different strokes for different folks, but I'm going to discuss keeping connection alive during hectic times. If there is one thing I have learned, once you are an adult, you are busy. I can't believe younger me was so ready to just grow up. And now I'm like, dude, this time that you feel like is you're just wasting away, or is that's going so slow, you would have appreciated it. And shout out to my grandma for making me take naps, because now they hit like no other. I wish I took more. But we're going to talk about understanding expectations within friendships, and balancing that with the necessity to keep yourself at the forefront too, and make sure that you're curating your life worth living. How to fill your friends' love cups, where communication comes into play. And then finally, I'm gonna do a book recommendation of the month. Right now the schedule for the podcast is once per month. I have a lot going on. I'm working full-time at a residential treatment center. That's doing a lot for fulfilling like my why and my giving heart. I'm in grad school studying clinical mental health counseling. I'm a GA assistant, and I'm in a leadership program that's pretty intensive as well. Logan's being cute in the kitchen. So this is where we're at currently, and I'm very excited to continue to share and also explore like my own growth and my own ability to be vulnerable in this state. I think one thing that has held me back in life is being afraid of not communicating in the right way, of things not looking a certain way, of not knowing what's coming next. And at the end of the day, I know I was put on this earth to bring people together in whatever manner that may be. And if it's through my voice, if it's through curating space for one another to see each other more clearly, to hear each other in our richness, in our fullness, in our being, to step into the I am that we all are. That's something that I am so excited to do. So without further ado, let's get into it. First and foremost, I'm gonna tell y'all how I met my Logan and Gabby, how we even got into a state where I was able to even talk about this episode, because without those two women, it wouldn't be the same. And I have amazing examples of what friendship has done for me. From like the seventh grade, I have back home in Texas, I have the same friends. I call them is like OG Harmony Squad. It's MJ, Henry, Aileen, Abraham, Henry. I think I said Henry already. Bubba, as we call him. And then Noel, my music soulmate. No matter what happens, whenever I go home, I see them, and it's like no time has ever passed. And we'll get a bit more into that as far as the expectation part of the conversation today. But Logan and Gabby became a very intimate part of my life when I needed foundation and I needed solidness. It was the second part of my sophomore year of college, and I had been commuting from home for the first 2 years. My family moved out here. When I started college, my mom's job ended up moving her out. And luckily enough, I was able to go and run track at Concordia. So I was commuting. I got to a certain point where I was ready to move out of the house, you know, start exploring my own autonomy. And the opportunity that presented itself was being a resident assistant. And so that meant that I was going to, you know, I was going to be able to help all different types of people. So I did that for a first year. And my roommates at the time were Naya, who I'm still very close with, Naomi, who I adore, and then Camtris, who is an amazing person. So first year, I was a resident assistant for the freshmen. Seeing all the youngins grow, it was a fun time. We get to the spring semester of my junior year. And I'm like, yo, Naya, like, you should apply. Or she was thinking of applying herself. And so we both apply again. And she gets the job. So our roommate group of four people was going to now turn into a splitting up, because two RAs cannot live together. We each had our own section within the school that we were in charge of. And then we would make sure that everybody's safe, that they're following rules and obligations, different mental health areas, etc. So we all had a conversation about it. And my understanding was that, okay, like, Camtris is going to come with me, and then Naomi's going to go with Naya. So I'm thinking that this is the vibe that we're on. And then I come home. I remember this so vividly. I was tired. I wanted to go to bed. I had a track meet the next day because I did run I was a hurdler in college all 4 years. And I get a text message that we're going to have like a talk. So I'm like, okay. And the way the rooms are set up, there's two rooms, a bathroom that connects them, and then two rooms on the other side. So I walk over to the other side and I see everybody sitting down kumbaya style. And I'm like, oh, and the vibe is serious. And I was like, okay, like, what's going on? And so basically, because of my schedule and just the type of person that I am like very busy and I like to do a lot of different things. And I hadn't yet learned how to stay still. And I think this was feedback of like, I hadn't been pouring into me and Camtris's friendship as much as I could have. She decided that she was going to live with Naya and Naomi, which left me without a roommate. I was just like, oh, like, okay. And I remember that I took it personally. Like, I felt so upset. I was in the laundry room after the conversation. I was putting my clothes in. I was crying because I was just so pissed off. And now when I think about it, it ended up being one of the biggest blessings in my life, because Logan and Gabby at the time were needing another roommate, either a pair or someone that would have their own room. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, I've undergone a lot of therapy, and I had an accommodation, so I did not need to have a roommate. So I remember I texted Logan. I was like, hey, are y'all still needing a third person? Like, I'm available. I explained the situation. She was like, yeah, absolutely. And so senior year, the three of us ended up living together, and we created such a beautiful home. Like, we had game nights, we cooked together, we would have yap sessions. I had a mega bed because I pushed my beds together. So sometimes we'd just be in there talking it up. And I just learned how powerful friendship truly was, what it meant to be seen and heard exactly for who I am, and to not be shamed for that. Like, there's a feeling that I get in my body around them, or I guess the lack of negative feeling, where I know that I'm safe. I know that I don't have to put up any kind of facade or wall. There was trust. We all ran track together, so there was a mutual understanding of like our different schedules. We all had different majors. I was a psych major, Logan was a kines major, and then Gabby is a bio major. So we were all in like our own different realms, and yet we came together and made it such a beautiful experience. And I just, one of the things that stood out to me, I was going through a really rough breakup, and one day I was crying like somebody had passed away, like sliding down the wall, just so hurt. And I laugh because now I'm just in such a different place. But the two of them just held me. They didn't have to say a single word, but they were there. And they have spoken life into me since then. I'm going on five years of friendship with Logan and four with Gabby. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Like, they will be at my wedding. They will be godmothers to my kids. They are some of the most beautiful people I have ever met. And it is through their love that I'm even sitting here today, able to talk about the impact this has had on me. Human connection as a whole is so vital to our ability to live happy and healthy lives. One of the biggest indicators to positive mental health outcomes is the relationships that you have. And that's not always going to be your partner or your spouse. There's so many different hats and facets that we interact with every day, and one person cannot possibly support you through all of that. It would not be fair to them. And there's so much that you can learn from people that are different from you. Logan's literally from Washington. She allowed me to go there with her this past holiday, and I was so geeked because I'm from Texas. It's flat. There's not a bunch of greenery. And I got to experience her family fully. I got to see where she's from. I got to run on the track with her. I got to work out with her. I got to meet the people that made her who she is. So there's a whole different world and paradigm within each of the people that we know. And they're interacting with their own. And then you're creating your own environment with them at the same time. So it's just a wonderful... I don't know. It leaves me at a loss for words sometimes. And there's often, we'll be eating together and I'll just be like, I love you guys so much. And then I'll start crying. And then they're like, oh, here she go. But it's just because I see the divine working through my life by allowing me to continue to love on them and to have them love me. And it's changed my life, truly. If we look at what the definition of platonic love is, it was originally attributed to Greek philosopher Plato, where, you know, it's by the power of love that we might be led to wisdom, which to me means that by curating these connections, by investing in one another, being vulnerable, putting in the time and the effort to understand each other, we actually are led to a higher state of consciousness. We're actually able to learn to a degree that we would not be able to without each other. Platonic love is a bond defined by deep intimacy, care, and meaningful, heartfelt connection without romantic attraction or intention. I often like to call them my soulmates and a friend. I mean, I feel that. Period. Like, there's not much I can go from that, besides the fact that I know they're supposed to be here and I know I'm supposed to be there with them. And that deep intimacy, that care, I see it in their everyday actions. Logie's someone, when you come home, she's like, yo, you hungry? I'm like, yeah. She's gonna make you a meal. She's not just gonna make the meal, she's gonna put it on a plate, she's gonna plate it nicely, she's gonna set your utensils down, she's gonna make sure that you are taken care of. Gabby, somebody that the way that she communicates, her heart works, her mind, her ability to leave space while also like guiding, it's so refreshing. And we could just talk about the world for hours and it'll feel like no time has passed. And if I look back on my history, the story I used to tell myself is that it's hard for me to uphold friendships. I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, and morality-wise, it made me who I am. It's a very loving religion, and at the same time, the one thing I heard growing up all the time was that bad association spoils youthful habits, and it was my dad and my mom were doing their best to make sure that I had people around me that were going to lead me on the right path. And it was at a very young age that I pushed away the ideal that the best people for me would be within this religion. I have always seen the world as my oyster, that there is so much to learn from people that are completely different from me. And if anything, my life is going to be better because I got the opportunity to learn from them. And so as I was growing up, I was allowed to do different things. But when it came to, you know, going to people's houses or, you know, going to the movies or the mall with them, I wasn't allowed to. And I got used to saying no. I got used to making up excuses. And I created this self-limiting belief that I wasn't able to keep friendships because I didn't feel like I could be open and honest about what I was going through because I didn't have any power to change it in the moment. I remember I talked to y'all briefly about OG Harmony Squad. I remember having a conversation with my dad concerning them where I'm like, these are good people. One of them, his name is MJ. We're literally born the same day in the same year. The most loving man ever. The way that he speaks life into me. The way he is so supportive, the way that he loves his family, the way he loves Noelle, the way he loves me. Like, I saw that. I saw that in all of them. I knew it in my body, and I couldn't change my circumstances, and it was so frustrating. And so my means to cope was to just make myself as busy as possible. I think there was a time when I was working 3 jobs at once. I was at PacSun. I was working at Slim Chickens. And I was working at Cheddar's Kitchen just because I wanted to be out of the house. And what that turned into as I grew up is like, oh, I have something to do. I'm going to flake on these people. I'm going to flake on somebody that I'm calling my friend. I'm going to make an excuse. I'm not going to be honest. I'm not going to be vulnerable because I had shame ingrained into me. I had this idea that I didn't have the power to advocate for myself or to. I didn't feel like I deserved these kind of relationships. And so having changed that over time has been so healing to my inner child who just wanted to be around other people's inner childs and to frolic and to play. And don't get me wrong, I have wonderful friendships that were within the Jehovah's Witness community. If you hear that in the background, it's, I don't even know what Logan's doing. And they made me who I am. I think of Roslyn, who is an amazing person. I think of Amaya, I think of Tiana. I just think of different people within my life. And still, I knew that I needed more. And it wasn't until I was able to gain a bit more of my autonomy that I reached that place. And it took being brave. And it took also feedback from friends that are like, yo, we're tired of you flaking on us. Or we don't feel like you're being impeccable with your word. You're not following through. It makes me not want to invite you to things. It makes me not feel important. And this is something I've had to actively work on. And I would say that my relationships are in the best place that they have ever been, and they're going to continue to increase because people have loved me enough to be honest, and I have loved my family enough to be honest with them of like, this is who I am. This is what I believe. These are the people that are important to me, and I'm going to advocate for that. I'm going to fight for that. There's nothing that's going to get in the way of that. I'm no longer held back from with it because of my history, because of this story. What's in my present is I am more than capable, and I'm currently creating long-lasting, soul-fulfilling friendships, platonic love that is going to be ingrained in generations of my family going forward. And then just when I was thinking about this whole concept of friendship, I'm like, okay, what are the markers of true friendship? And first one is like authenticity and acceptance. This is one of my biggest values. It'd be like authenticity / individuality. Everybody is born with the right to be who they are. I believe in doing your best to do no harm. I believe in self-growth and continuing to pursue excellence and to also rest in the person that you are. So being with people who bring out the most innocent parts of you is an amazing feeling. I will give you an example where I currently work. There are 2 people in my life, Jenna and Christine. When we get together, it's the 3 peas in the pods. I'm stimming, we're dancing, we're making jokes, we're laughing, laughing till I almost pee myself, okay? I did not realize that I was missing such joy and such ability to just have fun until I started to spend time with them. I recently went through a breakup and it was Thanksgiving and I didn't have plans, and Jenna invited us over to their house. And we ended up eating with them and their family and spending time together. We ended up going out in like to their dad's house, and we saw horses and we got to pet them. There's a video of me and Jenna arguing over if we see the Big Dipper in the sky or not. And when I look back on it, and even right now, I'm smiling so big and so deeply because I was just able to be authentic. I felt accepted. I felt seen. They knew that I didn't have a place to go, that I was far from home, that I didn't have plans, and they loved on me and decided to create a memory with me in that moment. And it's something that will stick with me for the rest of my life. And I love them indefinitely because of it. There have been themes of not feeling accepted within my life. I've felt like the black sheep before in my family, in my environment. I was bullied middle school. Like, there's different things that were going on. So to be my energetic, hopeful, joyous, deep thinking, kind of sporadic self, and for that to be not only accepted but amplified, that's all that I can ask for. And if the two of you are listening, I love you, I adore you, and I can't wait to see you so soon. Surf's up. They will get what that means. A second marker of friendship is interest plus understanding of love language. So the love languages, as you know, are quality time, acts of service, physical touch, gifts, and words of affirmation. And the ones that you give out are not always going to be the ones that you take in. So I will give you an example. Logan loves a clean house. She is someone that thrives in that kind of environment. I could go and be like, oh my goodness, I love you. And that's great. And she would take that in. But she would also feel extremely supported by me making sure that everything is vacuumed, that the dishes are done, that she's in a space where she can be calm. She's also very heavy on physical touch, which, by the way, the average amount of hugs that we should be getting per day is 7, just for maintenance. So I make an effort to make sure that I'm connecting with her in that manner. I have other friends that don't like to be touched at all, and that's perfectly fine. Me taking an interest in what they are needing and what they are saying and what they are not saying is what allows me to make sure that they feel supported and loved in the manner that is best for them. And then for me as well. I know for me, I love quality time. I love words of affirmation. It has historically been hard for me to ask for help. So I have... we were throwing a Friendsgiving, and my friend Ash, she sees me running around making drinks, making sure everybody's comfortable, and I love that. I like nurturing, whatever. She's like, bro, sit your ass down. Like, sit down. Like, you're doing too much. Because I actually do like to receive acts of service. I like to be helped. I like to be taken care of. It's just, I've grown up taking care of other people all my life. That is something that is not innate to me. But people like her and Gabby and others in my life have been like, they understand that helpers need to be helped too. Givers need to be given to too. And just them understanding that and then putting that into action as well it's allowed me to curate that in my own life and then start analyzing what people are needing. And it's going to differ. And that's what's so exciting about it. You get to step into all these different ways of being in order to love on the people who love you. I was having a conversation with Logan today in breakfast, and I was like, what is a marker of true friendship to you? And for her, it was sitting in silence and having no need to fill it, which I was like, yes. Like, if I'm just playing my Switch and then she's doing whatever, like, vibes, I could be reading. It's amazing. I know for me, it's being able to ask for help and then others being able to accept my help too, because I feel that if I'm able to do things for others, it's a way for me to show my love, to show that I care about them. It's a I got you, you got me kind of mentality. And so I invite y'all to think about the people in your life and what are their love languages? What are your own? How are you filling their love cup and how are they filling yours? And what is a small action today that you can take to curate connection, to make sure that without even, it might even be words, just in your way of being, they will know, like, wow, like, they love me, they see me, they care for me. And that I that feeling is going to stick with them, especially if you make it habitual. Third marker, friendship, trust and intentions. You want somebody next to you that you can trust. You want somebody where you can be completely raw. You can speak your mind. You can tell them about the cool thing that's happening in your life, and they're not going to speak black magic onto you. They're not going to put you down. They're not going to talk behind your back. They're not going to be negative or be like, oh, like, that's okay, and like not really give it the time of day. Like, what, how are they intentionally communicating with you, showing up for you, doing different things that are instilling this sense of trustworthiness? I went on a trip recently, and my little cat, Honey, she's gonna need to be fed. And I was like, okay, who can I trust to do this? And I hit up Ash, and I was like, yo, may you please, like, help me take care of my cat. What that included is she's gonna have access to a key. She's gonna be in my home without me being there. I needed to trust that she wouldn't steal from me, that she wouldn't poison my cat, that she wouldn't burn the house down. Like, there's a whole thing that goes into allowing people into my life in a manner that's very intimate and vulnerable. There's nothing I could have done. I was in Washington if something went wrong. But I trust her. I know the person that she is. I know her character. And that's because we have taken the time to build that kind of rapport. What you put into a relationship, you're going to get it back. The more that you decide that, okay, I'm going to open myself up, I'm going to let them know who I am, I'm going to show them, I'm going to be who I am, and they reciprocate that, the reciprocation is important, the trust is going to continue. And one thing that's super important, we are human, we are fallible. There are going to be moments where we may make decisions that can hurt one another. So there is taking accountability and ownership for when you fuck up. The biggest thing to me is, like, be honest about it. Have a conversation with me. I'm gonna love you 9 times out of 10 regardless. Or if I need to separate myself from you, the love is still gonna be there. It's when you make excuses and, excuse me, not you. It's when someone makes excuses and doesn't own up to what they are causing and what they are creating that makes it hard for trust to be reestablished. I'm very, very big on, I'm so sorry. This is what I'm going to do differently in the future. I'm going to own up to any emotions that this has caused, any physical presentations of what this has caused, and this is what we're going to do going forward. That is going to show that not only do you care about their feelings, but that you're already in the mode of, like, yo, this is what we're going to do differently. Our relationship is not only going to be mended, it's going to be stronger because you're being self-aware enough to own up to your humanness. No one is expected to be perfect. If that was the case, then, I mean, life would be life would be a lot smoother. But what makes it so fun and so rich is that when there are bumps and bruises and rough edges, you're able to overcome, oftentimes together. One of the fourth markers of true friendship is managing expectations or the lack thereof. One of my friends, Henry, aka Bubba, he is someone that is very, he is very busy. He has a lot of different things going on. And his favorite, one of his greatest love languages is quality time. And one thing about him, if he commits to spending time with you, you have his full attention. I will never forget when I went home. We all, OG Harmony Squad, met together to talk with one another. It's one of my favorite things we do when I come home. And not only did he pick me up from my house, drive 40 plus minutes to our friend Abe's house, we then went, got tacos, and spoke together till about 4 p.m. Now, when I'm here in California and he's out in Houston, we're not talking every day. We're not blowing up each other's phones. There's been times I've texted him and I won't hear from him for weeks at a time. And maybe for certain people, like, they need more consistent communication. And if so, that's a conversation that you can have with your friend. But I think it is important to be aware of where one another is at in life and then having that conversation of, like, okay, this is what makes you feel supported. These are my expectations as far as a mutually beneficial friendship. And for me, I'm very open and understanding when it comes to people's circumstances because mine are forever changing. So just having those conversations is important. It's another way to establish trust, connection, open communication, and just a way to better love one another. If you think about the concept of boundaries, and maybe one a boundary with this is like, yo, I'm busy. Not even busy, like, hey, I have A, B, and C going on. This is what I can give in this current moment. I love you. I ask that you respect this certain boundary. Whoop, there was a motorcycle. I ask that you're gonna respect this certain boundary. By someone setting up that type of conversation with you, they are actually teaching you how to love them better. It's not a means to distance one another. Boundaries are not a way to like shove people away from you. It's like, this is what I need to feel loved and supported. And I love you so much that I want you to be aware. Is this a place that you can meet me at? Which I think is so amazing. And something that I have learned and been living in, and it's made life so much more authentic, and my space seems so much more safe, and the people around me understand the specific boundaries that I have because I have been brave and courageous enough to have those conversations with them. A big thing for me is, how does my nervous system feel around them? Earlier, like, no facades, no walls. Like, if I want to start singing, me and Logan are just randomly break out into Surf's Up, Surf's Up quotes, or I just want to start singing some Michael Jackson, or whatever. They don't even blink an eye. They don't bat an eye anymore. And I'm not being like obnoxious with it, but sometimes I have a lot of energy in my body, okay, a little neurodivergentness, and I gotta move. And they accept me for that. They accept me for that, and my nervous system, my internal body, knows that I am okay. One of the last markers of true friendship, at least for me, is like seeing their growth over time. A theme within all the important friendships in my life is that they deeply love and care about themselves and the people around them, and they are difference makers in their environments. They inspire me to see the good in the world within myself. I once asked Naya, I was like, what do you think is the point of our friendship? And it basically came down to us growing together over time and continuing that growth and being there for one another and seeing it. I forgot the wording that she said, but I remember it made me feel, I felt emotional because I had never had a friend express to me that the purpose is to curate one another and inspire one another's growth. She has an understanding that I'm not going to be the same person that I was when she met me when I was 18 years old, and neither is she. But she loves me and accepts me for who I am and knows that at the end of the day, I love her too. And we're going to continue to pour into and grow our friendship, and no matter what that looks like. Literally today, we're going out for New Year's Eve. And I'm so excited. So those are just the things that came to mind as far as my own experience with friendship. I just wanted to start out coming back into the podcast space and ending this year with expressing the utmost gratitude that I have for the people that in my life. I've gone through a lot. There are even things that are going on right now that have not always been the easiest, and it is through the people in my life that love me and my community and my family that I'm able to be who I am today, that I'm able to continue to stand in who I am, because it's a choice coming from myself that is also amplified by my environment because of who I choose to be around. And if you are someone who is in a space where you are wanting more friends, you are wanting to experience platonic love, get curious. Go out and do things that you enjoy, and the people who are supposed to be around you, they will come. You will find them. You will stumble upon them. Life is funny in that way. And, you know, you deserve to curate your life worth living beside people who are doing the same for themselves, to feel safe in that, to feel loved, to be sitting down and to look in your environment and be like, wow, like, I can't believe, like, these people exist. It's possible. It could be difficult, especially with the way that we are chronically online. I know a lot of people can be socially anxious. And it can be scary to put your heart out. But, you know, most of the time, some of the greatest things that we're going to experience are on the opposite side of hard or the opposite side of scary. I say it's okay to be scared. It's not okay to be fearful. You could be scared and still continue to go forward. If you're fearful, you're normally going to run away. You could be running away from the very thing that was meant for you. And if that's what's in friendships, take a leap. Because there is someone out there that is more than likely patiently waiting for someone like you to step into their life and see them and them see you. Through this leadership program that I've been going through, I learned about intimacy, which is into me see. Into me see my friends. They do. And into them I see. And that is one of the greatest, greatest blessings on this earth. And then finally, that's what I have to say as far as like friendships. I want to thank y'all for tuning in. I want to thank you for being open and willing to meet me back in this space. I know it's been a minute and I'm excited to continue to be consistent. The book for this month is Be Not Afraid of Love. It's Lessons on Fear, Intimacy, and Connection by Mimi Zhu. The first chapter that stood out to me was about the cleansing nature of anger and how it is not a... No emotion is good nor bad. They are neutral and necessary and they move through us like a wave. But she talks about the expression and the clarity that can come from having anger out of our body and numbness. She is a domestic violence survivor. She's queer. And she is a Chinese Australian author and writer who's currently based in Brooklyn, New York. So if you're interested in a book that explores intimacy and the different levels of connection from a multicultural lens, this is the book for you. I'm going to end today by saying, I love you. I believe in you. You are capable of doing any and everything that you set out to do. There are no limits. Tomorrow is just as good as any day to start doing whatever it is that you want to do. And I'm not just saying that because it's New Year's. It could be freaking July 27th right now. And the same thing applies. You have the choice to step into the paradigm that is most beneficial for you. The person that you are is beautiful. It is not history held. It is not defined by the people that have shit on you, that have called you things or shown you things that you are not. You are a worthy, beautiful, godly inspired being. And I cannot wait to continue to connect with you guys. I love you and I hope you have a great day. Peace.